Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. And the Lord is great. Amen. And the Lord is here. Yes, praise God. You may be seated this morning, everyone. As we look to the Word of God today, we're going to be reading from the Scriptures today the story of a great miracle, a demonstration of the greatness and the goodness of our God. 2 Kings chapter 5 is our Scripture reading for this morning. We'll read down through a large portion of this Scripture, but we'll be looking at this story, Lord willing, over the next three Sunday mornings. Today, we'll just sort of launch into the story as we think about what brought about the miracle in the pages of Scripture. Well, God brought about the miracle, but how many of you know we have a part to play in God's work? Would you say amen? And so today we look at 2 Kings chapter 5. The title of this series is Notes on Naaman, the story of the healing of Naaman the Syrian, Naaman the Aramean. The Bible says this in 2 Kings 5 verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Isn't that a bold statement? He would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. I heard a preacher many years ago preach from this story and declare that Naaman almost missed the miracle because of his anger and pride, and because of his preconceived notions, Naaman almost missed the miracle. He turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, Elisha. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. If you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Naaman was going to go back home to a heathen country, and he was servant to the king, and he knew there were going to be complications because of his new faithfulness to the Lord. How many of you know when you choose Jesus and determine to follow the Lord, there might be complications? And Naaman knew that was coming. He said, I may have to go into the temple of that idol and bow down under my master's arm. Forgive me, because I believe the Lord is God. Verse 19, go in peace, Elisha said. We'll stop reading right there for this morning. We'll read more in our later studies. But this morning, we take a look at the messenger who brought about this miracle that took place in the pages of the Old Testament, a great and a mighty miracle. How many of you in the house today know that there is nothing too hard for God? Say amen. Amen. This past Wednesday night, as we gathered in the sanctuary, we preached the word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul declared, we rely on God who raises the dead. Last Sunday morning, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the season of resurrection. This is the season of miracles. God is a worker of miracles. Would you say amen? And as we think about the miracle that is before us today in the pages of Scripture, we think about the unusual methods and maneuvering that took place for this miracle to occur. Two kings involved in the story. King Ben-Hadad of Aram up north. King Ahab of Israel down south. Two kings involved in the process. We find a great prophet involved in the process. A man by the name of Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah as the great prophet in Israel. And Elisha was involved in this miracle as well. But the story begins when a young girl enters the picture and enters the process and becomes a messenger of the miraculous. As we think about this story today, it really is an unusual story because somebody, are you listening? Somebody who could have been, should have been bitter, became better. She could have been angry, but she became fruitful. She could have held back what she knew about God, but instead she came forward and was used by God. And she brought a message to a foreign military commander about the healing, miracle-working power of God. And her work in the story started the whole process. She, this unnamed girl in 2 Kings chapter 5, this unnamed little girl launched Naaman into receiving a miracle from God. I want to think about her story this morning, and I want to bring this back around to where we are in the world in which we live. How many of you live in the midst of a world where many people need the mighty touch of God? Say amen. We live in a world of brokenness. We live in a world of sickness. We live in a world of pain and heartache. We live in a world of dysfunction. We live in a world where many, many people around about us need a God who still works miracles in our lives. Not only do we need the touch of God in our own lives, but we live in the midst and move in the midst of people who need the touch of God in their own lives. And yet sometimes we find ourselves in places where we hold back, where we become bitter about some situation, where we are angry in the midst of the world where we're living. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we are not forthright and forthcoming with the gracious message that God has given us. I want us to see from the story of a young girl in the scriptures today that we can move from bitter to better and be used by God. Somebody say amen. So we look at her story in four chapters this morning, Naaman's servant girl, and we begin by examining her sad captivity. Verse 2 tells us, now bands of Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. So this girl in the story, she's a captive. She had been stolen from her family, taken away from her family. Now the history, the backdrop on this is that the nation of Aram, or you know, the King James Version will call it Syria maybe, Aram, was just north of the nation of Israel. By this time, the nation that we had known as Israel has also been split into two compartments. We have Judah in the south, where Jerusalem is. We have Israel in the north. And even northern, even more northern than that is the nation of Aram in the pages of Scripture. And so it might not surprise you then that there was constant friction and warfare between these three nations living side by side. And because Aram was just north of Israel, there were constant conflicts between those two countries, those two nations, squabbling over land. How many of you know the Middle East has always been a place of squabbling? As it is today, it's nothing new. And so it was common for the Arameans to sweep down into Israel and do damage and take property and all of those kinds of things. That's what had happened in this story. Some bands from Aram had gone out, had stolen this young girl from her family. She was stolen, and she was serving as a slave to foreigners. When they captured her, they brought her back home, and she became servant to the army commander and his wife. So here she is, stolen from her family, serving as a slave to foreigners. We don't know how old she is, but the scripture calls her a girl. She is just a girl here. She was stolen, she was serving as a slave, and she'd been stripped of her freedom and her future. We don't know what the future might look like for this girl, and in fact, we have no way to track that down. But there she was in that place, in a very sad situation, a captured child serving as a slave, a young girl, her sad captivity. We might think that would cause her to be very bitter, very angry, very sullen. We might think that she would have no desire whatsoever for her captors to do well. We might even think that as she heard about Naaman's leprosy, she might have said something like this, well, good for him. Let him get what he deserves. I'm not concerned about a man who is my slave master. I've been taken away from my family. Her sad captivity. But surprisingly, in the midst of this story, we see this is a girl with spiritual confidence. This girl has some sort of relationship with the Lord, I believe. She has an awareness of the Lord. She has an appreciation for the Lord. I believe she has a relationship with the Lord. I believe she knows the Lord personally. She certainly knows about the Lord, and she knows the heart of the Lord. It would be hard for her not to know the Lord personally. And she had a strong confidence in the Lord. Notice what the girl said in verse 3. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." That's a strong confidence. And that's a bold statement, isn't it? I mean, think about the boldness of saying, if you'd go over and see prophet so-and-so, he would bring you would be healed miraculously. But she was confident in the Lord enough to say that about Naaman's situation. Notice, she was familiar with ministry. Think about that. She knew about Elisha the prophet. She knew about the work of God. She knew about miracles, amen. She knew what God could do. She was familiar with ministry, and she was full of faith for miracles. That takes a lot right there. This girl knew that God was a miracle-working God and that God not only could do a miracle, but he would do a miracle. That's what her confidence was. God can move in Naaman's life, and I believe he will. She was full of faith for miracles, and this is where I think it even gets more interesting. She was a forecaster of mercy. Now think about who Naaman was. Naaman was the army commander of the enemy. He was the army commander from Aram, and she was an Israeli girl. He's the enemy. He's a foreigner. He's a stranger. But this girl is confident that even as a stranger and a foreigner, if he would reach out to God, God would have mercy on him. Do you know the whole world is filled with people who think they are disqualified for the work of God? The whole world around us is filled with people who think, well, God would never do that for me. I haven't lived the right kind of life. I'm not the right religious person. I don't have the right pedigree. I'm not a good candidate for God's work. God would never do that for me. But I'm here to declare to you this morning that our God is a God of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. He is a God who loves people, and he loves people all around the world. Would you say amen? And he's a God. And this girl, she had a confidence that God would show mercy to Naaman if Naaman would simply reach out to him. You know, that's the message preached by the Apostle Paul as he traveled to foreign cities. He would preach that God is a God who is close at hand. And if we would simply reach out to try to find him, we could grab hold of him because he's not very far from any one of us. Our God is a God who wants to be found by people. He's a God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy. And this girl, she was a forecaster of mercy. And we find in the New Testament, she was a foreshadower of the Messiah, Jesus. Do you know Jesus refers to this story of Naaman's healing in the New Testament? Listen to it in Luke chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus said, "And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Jesus looks back and remembers and refers to that story of the healing of Naaman as a reminder that Jesus had come not just for the Jewish people, but he had come for people all around the world. He had come to seek and to save the lost and to reach out beyond. How many of you know Jesus reaches beyond all borders and reaches into places where people are? And this girl became a foreshadower of the Messiah. Jesus said, "The kingdom is open to foreigners." This girl made that declaration as well. "Naaman, if you'll go to the prophet in Israel, he will cure you of your leprosy." So her sad captivity was overcome by her spiritual confidence. She knew God could, and she believed God would do a miracle for Naaman. Let's look thirdly at her sweet constitution. Verse 3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. I want us to think for a moment about the character and the constitution of this girl. One, she was caring and compassionate. She was not bitter and angry. She was caring and compassionate toward her master who had leprosy. She was concerned about him. Two, she was trustworthy and truthful. Now think about what Naaman had to do in order to launch out and move forward in this process. The first thing Naaman had to do was believe the word of this girl. You know, some girls may have tried to set up a trick. You know, some guys would have said, "No, I'm not going to do that. This is a trick and a trap. If I go down there to Israel to see the prophet down there, this is surely a trap set for me." But he believed this girl. He had come to believe she was truthful and trustworthy. And so he believed her. Third, she was reverent and respectful. She came to her mistress, Naaman's wife, and said, there's a way for my master to receive healing. Notice what she calls Naaman in verse number 3. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see." She was a captive, a slave girl, but she was respectful even to her master, Naaman. And she was honestly hopeful for his healing. She wanted him well. I love this girl. I don't even know her. I don't know her name. But I love her spirit. She was strong in the Lord. I want you to know it doesn't take somebody who reaches the age of 30 to be strong in the Lord. Would you say amen? Years ago when I first started pastoring, it was about a year after it. I was 29 years old. We had invited a guest from New York City who came and preached for us on a Sunday night. There I was sitting on the front row listening to him preach. And he said, "If you're not 30 years old yet here in this house, you don't know nothing. So just shut up." Well, I was the pastor of the church. I had invited him to come. But how many of you know I never invited him again? I'm telling you, you don't have to reach the age of 30 years old or whatever the age is to be used by God. You can be a kid or a teenager, and God can use you mightily. David was 16 years old when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he slew the giant Goliath. This girl, I love this girl because she is bold in the Lord. She is loving toward those who have misused and abused her. She was hopeful and believing that God would bring a miracle of healing to this man. Oh, what a testimony of the power of God in somebody's life. How many of you know the greatest miracles are spiritual? And when God can change somebody's heart and mind and spirit, that's a great miracle. And this girl, she was awesome. Her sad captivity, her spiritual confidence, her sweet constitution led her to make her strategic choices. Verse 3, she said, everybody say that with me. She said. She said. She could have remained silent, but she didn't, right? She spoke up. She said. Notice, she chose affirming the Lord over accusing the Lord. She could have, in this story, been aggravated at God for allowing her to be captive. But she was not aggravated at God. She chose to affirm the Lord rather than to accuse the Lord. She talked about the Lord's mercy and the Lord's power. She didn't talk about, you know, how the Lord could have, you know, saved her from being brought over there. A couple of weeks ago in my Bible reading, I read through the book of Esther, and I heard Mordecai, her uncle, her cousin, say to her, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. How many of you know the Lord brings us into places, sometimes, however we want to term it, sometimes allows us to come into places because he wants to use us in those places. This miracle may have never occurred if it had not been for this girl who'd been taken captive. She could have been angry and accused the Lord, but instead she chose affirming the Lord. She had a, are you awake? She had a good word about God. Come on, somebody, say amen. She had a good word about God. Do you have that? A good word about God. God is great and God is good, yes. God loves you and wants to help you, amen. God is real and moving, amen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, amen. Yeah, she had a good word about God. She said, she chose affirming the Lord. And she chose positive participation over personal pity partying. She could have withdrawn into a shell like many people do in their times of difficulty. I want you to know sometimes we find ourselves, even as Christians, withdrawing into a place of pitying ourselves and our situation, and that hinders us from being used by God. I declare to you this morning, I don't know, maybe all of us have been tempted to withdraw into a place like that at times in our lives. But listen, she chose positive participation over personal pity partying. I'll not let what's happened to me keep me from being used by God. But how many of you know we have to determine that? We have to rise up and say, no, I'll not let the things that have happened negatively in my life keep me from doing the work of God and letting God use me. I want to be used by God. How many of you want to be used by the Lord? Say amen. Of course we do. In all different kinds of settings. Think about this girl. I know this is a great miracle in the pages of Scripture, but where did her work take place? Right there in the house. Huh? Right there in the house. She was a girl in the house. She didn't go out and, you know, rent a sound system and set up a circus tent and preach to the foreigners out there. Her work took place right there in the house. But look what it led to. Huh? She chose positive participation rather than pity partying. Three, these are her strategic choices. She chose ministry amidst her own misery and mystery. Why did God allow this? Well, I don't know. But I'm going to be involved in ministry regardless. I'm going to do what the Lord gives me to do regardless. We don't know why we end up in certain places. Some of you perhaps are in places in life right now that are difficult or negative or unwanted. You may be in a very difficult family situation. You may be in a very difficult work situation. You may be struggling in different areas of your life. You may have all kinds of difficulties. You may be miserable even. And you may think it mysterious that you are where you are. But you know what? We are where we are. Now, if you don't get anything else from the message today, get that one. We are where we are. You are where you are, right? We are where we are, so let's make the best of it. For the Lord. Amen? So she chose ministry amidst her own misery and mystery. And the fourth strategic choice. She chose blessing and benevolence over bitterness. She said, I'm not going to be a bitter person. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to speak out blessing and the goodness of God. I'm going to serve God regardless of my own difficult situation. This preach it out there. We'll let him preach it out there, because he's one of our miracles right in the house right now, baby Jacob. Yeah. He's one of our miracle babies in the house. How many of you remember the miracle God gave to Jeff and Molly for baby Jacob? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, God worked a miracle. He can preach from this pulpit anytime he wants. You know, the maturity, the spiritual maturity of the girl in this story amazes me. She's just a young girl, but wow, she has put on the Lord. She has become a girl with strong faith, with a right attitude, huh? Who speaks up and makes the right choices, and who is determined that she's going to propel God's work forward. And she brought about this miracle by being the messenger of the miraculous. And so we close with these three notes today. One, let's get the grievances and the grumbling into the garbage. Yes. Could I have a better amen? Amen. Is there anybody here today who has some reason, you do have some reasons for which to grumble and complain? How many of you in that? You would have some reason. I know three people are lifting a hand. I lift both my hands and both of my feet if I could. Do we have some reasons for which we could grumble and complain? I suppose we do in the natural. But listen, let's get all that into the garbage, because we don't want anything to hinder what God has for us to do in this world. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Let's get the grievances and the grumbling into the garbage. Number two, let's grab on to the grace and glory of God. That's what this girl did. Oh, I wonder what she knew about the ministry of Elisha, the prophet. I wonder what miracles she knew about already. I wonder what stories of the powerful work of God she was familiar with. She knew enough to tell Naaman, this prophet over here, he'll bring the work of God into your life. I wonder what she knew. She was filled with excitement and joy over the work of God. Let's grab onto the grace and glory of God. How many of you know God is a God of great grace? Yes. And great glory. Amen. Get the grievances and grumbling into the garbage. Grab onto the grace and glory of God, and let's get going with the gospel. And let's be people who are messengers of the miraculous. Now you say, what kinds of miracles are you talking about today? Well, I think I said at the beginning of this message that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Naaman's miracle was a miracle of supernatural healing in his physical body. But there are other miracles as well. Miracles of restored relationships. Miracles of healed families. Are you here this morning? Miracles of healed minds and hearts and spirit. Miracles of prodigals coming home to the Lord. Miracles of financial supply. Anybody ever seen the Lord work in the area of finances? Yeah. So many ways in which the Lord works, and so many ways in which the Lord wants to work. He wants to work. and so many around us who need the work and the blessing of the Lord. But perhaps they've grown up in situations where they don't know about the Lord. Or perhaps they have a skewed view on God. Perhaps they have never known what God's heart looks like. Huh? Perhaps they've never known what kinds of things God will do for those who will trust Him. They need somebody in their circle to be a messenger of the miraculous. Can we do what this girl did? She said. She spoke up a good word about God. And she ministered in such a way that we have in our Bibles one of the greatest miracles ever recorded. Thank God for the messengers. Amen.